Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NCAA. Your home for live sports is AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Back in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, glad you're with us at AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester, on the radio.com app. And during the baseball season, he's doing PR for the Rochester Red Wings. When he's not, he's joining us to share some baseball takes. Baseball's opening night tonight, the Nats and the Yankees, a game you'll be able to hear on ESPN Rochester. Our buddy Nate Rowan, good with his time and joining us in the sports bar. Nate, how you been, bud?
I'm good. Great to hear your guys' voices. Guys.
Yeah, Nate, now before we get into Juan Soto and the Blue Jays dilemma, you're stuck in quarantine. Can you explain everybody what's going on with you right now?
Well, I've had a lot of some bad news in the last 3.5 weeks or 4 weeks or so, and it ended with my uncle passing away in Minnesota. So I drove back to Minnesota for his services, and when I was there, the governor put Minnesota on the travel restriction list. So when I returned on Monday, I had to self-report to the state that I was out of state and in one of the areas of issue. And so I have to serve a 14-day quarantine. And wouldn't you know it, the day after I returned back from Minnesota, Minnesota got taken off the list by the governor. So. So I contacted the county health department and asked them if I still had to stay in, and they said yeah. So I'm hanging out, going through some sports cards, trying to get rid of some sports cards that my dad had at his at my parents' place. And I don't know, I'm looking forward to baseball because at least it'll be something on TV to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking forward to it as well. But then we get this news this afternoon about Juan Soto, Nate. And boy, I don't know what Major League Baseball does, because for every Juan Soto, I feel like there's going to be more Juan Soto stories as we move ahead here, day in and day out. You know, he's missing tonight's season opener. He played all week around his teammates. He was around the Orioles just 2 days ago. What's baseball's plan of action here? How can they not quarantine his teammates, or at minimum just test everyone that he's been in contact with, Nate?
Yeah, that's the hardest. The hardest thing, I think, with this whole thing was, you know, I think we kind of expected that at some point somebody was going to test positive. Now, the fact that it's Juan Soto brings much more attention to the situation because of the type of young prospect, obviously somebody who you're not somebody that, you know, would have severe symptoms with the whole thing. Not that he's seriously sick, but the fact that he got sick and then he's interacting with his teammates and opponents, obviously, makes, you know, it's a cause for concern, because this thing can take 14 days to kind of manifest itself and show up in testing, which is why, you know, when I came home from Minnesota, the orders are to stay in quarantine for 14 days. You know, it's predictable. It's just, it's unfortunate because baseball has had such a bad off season in terms of PR and news, and people had a lot of bad things. Fans had a lot of bad things to say about the sport. And I don't blame them for saying it. They finally get a chance where baseball is going to take the main stage. All the eyes are going to be on it. And one of the game's brightest young stars tests positive for this virus that has shut down basically, you know, our entire country and really affected the way that our lives, you know, have gone on. And that's, you know, unfortunate for baseball because they finally had something good. And then this news, I would say, kind of overshadows the fact that the season opens up today.
Well, what do we know? Do we know, Nate, what the policy is here? Is it two negative tests, 14 days? Is it 14 days you're out and then two negative tests? What's the road back here for Juan Soto?
I'm not sure exactly, but I know that when guys reported to camp, it was two positive tests, or two negative tests, I'm sorry. So, you know, just to potentially avoid a false negative or, you know, something like that. So the guys are supposed to test positive twice, and then they were allowed to participate. So the Minnesota Twins, for example, the Red Wings affiliate, Miguel Sano was probably the most notable of that group. William Dosadio still is dealing with COVID 19 issues and can't get past his negative test. So that was the way that they handled it when guys first started reporting to this, like, summer camp or spring 2.0, whatever you want to call it. I'm not sure exactly what the policy is during the season, but obviously, like Danger was saying just a little bit ago, it's concerning because, you know, now you've got the Orioles who just played a game against Soto, and you've got his teammates now who have to go play a baseball game knowing that they had just interacted with a person who has tested positive. I mean, the hope, of course, with the whole sport is that nobody tests positive. That seemed unrealistic. Now you just have to hope that it's limited to just Soto, but as close as these guys interact and the type of you know, the way that sports are and how much interaction you do have with opponents and teammates, it's hard to see that he's not going to be the only one that tests positive out of this situation.
Right, and you're playing the Yankees tonight, who, you know, this will be the first time that they've seen each other, and now you could potentially be infecting another team. And then on top of it all, the Orioles, who were just playing against Washington a couple of days ago, are now the team that are rumored to be hosting the Blue Jays. So here comes another team into the mix that, you know, might be like, yeah, you know what, Pittsburgh, we can do that. Is Buffalo still on the line? Can we still get Buffalo? Because, man, I'm telling you, Nate, if I'm a Toronto Blue Jay right now, I'm saying, you know what, screw it, I'm good, I don't need this season. We'll come back when there's a virus.
Yeah, I think that the way that the Blue Jays players specifically handled the situation could have been much better. Again, my expertise is PR, so I kind of see it through a different lens than a lot of different people. And from my perspective, you know, they went on this crusade, but they went on this social media, kind of this, the stars of the sport said, you know, say when and where, and we'll play, because the negotiations with the commissioner's office and the players union were so bad, and they were so far apart on things that the players just got fed up with the negotiations and said, okay, just tell us when and where. Okay, so the plan was to play in Toronto. They had a backup plan to play their major league games in Buffalo. The Canadian government says, no, we're not going to approve that many, you know, people coming in and out of the country, which I don't blame them for. But the backup plan was to be in Buffalo. Players find out about the backup plan, and they said, yeah, well, actually, we just don't want it to be Buffalo. So that, to me, it's a really bad look on the players. And in general, with these negotiations and stuff, I'm always on the player side. But this is one that I think that specifically the Blue Jays really kind of messed up. And it got to a point where if they could have handled it a little bit different, they wouldn't have looked so bad. But they come out of this looking really, really bad. And honestly, it's in a situation where the entire country is dealing with new challenges and people are losing jobs and losing incomes and all sorts of things, to have players say, well, we want to play our games, we just don't want to play our game in a AAA ballpark. I mean, that's pretty petty, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's my take on it.
Yeah, no doubt. And now the story about Baltimore, and this is on the, you know, the Maryland's governor's to-do list. They're not going to use the Oriole facilities here. You can't use the Oriole clubhouse. You can't use the visiting clubhouse. They're talking about a makeshift locker room. You can't tell me that's any better than what was Buffalo offering. So I guess my question, Nate, is you're familiar with certainly the International League. What are the best stadiums? What are the best facilities in the IL? Just what would the experience be like at Salem Field in Buffalo and what might be some of our alternatives. We talked to Toby Gartenheuer earlier in the week, and he said Charlotte has a nice facility.
Charlotte is by far the nice facility in terms of it's also one of the newest ones, but it is by far the nicest. I actually have not been to the ballpark to see like where the players' areas would be, but from my discussions with players and obviously our broadcaster Josh Wetzel, who goes there, he speaks very highly of their facilities there. The thing with Charlotte that makes it a little bit challenging is that when they designed the ballpark, they designed it in downtown Charlotte, and where they put it, they were limited with how much space, obviously, because they had a plot that they had to build it on. Well, they also wanted to have some seats in the outfield. They wanted to make it 360. So their fences are very, very short. It's a ballpark that historically, since it opened, has had some of the highest home run totals in the league. Obviously, it seems on the surface like it would be good, but you'd have a lot of pitchers complaining. But again, the players to be complaining about simply playing baseball at this point with so many bad things going on in the country seems kind of bad. But go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
So I was going to say Indianapolis is probably the next what I would consider an underrated ballpark in the league because it's a pitcher-friendly ballpark generally, but in terms of getting players in and out of a city, I mean, besides Charlotte, you know, you're talking Indianapolis is a pretty easy way to get in and out, even though you're chartering flights. If you need to call guys up from your player pool, that's also, you have to take that into consideration as well. But it's aside from that, I mean, Buffalo's probably in the top four or five ballparks in the league. And so to not want to go there, it's like you don't have a lot of options. But I talked to our former manager, Joel Skinner, on Monday, and he said that the Blue Jays had called him to ask for his opinion on where the best place in the International League gets to play because Ross Atkins is the GM of the Blue Jays, and he used to be with the Indians, and Mark Shapiro obviously used to be with the Indians as well. And Joel was a longtime coach and obviously managed the Indians for a short time. So that's where that relationship was at. But they called everybody they could to try to figure out where they could play this season.
So what did Joel say then? Did he at least pump up Rochester a little bit? Did he disclose who did he put the?
Well, I think they had specifically Charlotte, Buffalo, Indianapolis, Columbus in mind for facilities. But obviously, like Indianapolis is in, you're talking about the Blue Jays playing an AL East schedule. When the way they set the schedule up is to, you know, limit the amount of travel so you're not going all the way across the country all the time. And so Indianapolis would have been quite the trip, but so would have Charlotte. So, you know, I guess my whole thing is I'm ready for the whole discussion about where they're going to play just to be done because it's like the players and teams and the league always seem to find some thing to nitpick, and it's like, guys, can we just get to playing baseball, please? Because the country wants baseball, and you guys are making it very hard for people, the casual fan, to enjoy the sport when you're bickering about something so small.
We get to playing baseball tonight, the season opener tonight, the Yankees and the Nationals. You'll be able to hear it with pregame starting at 6 o'clock on ESPN Rochester. We're talking with Nate Rowe and PR for the Rochester Red Wings. Nate, can we talk a little bit about the season, the shortened season? Can we talk a little bit about baseball and less about logistics? Because I want to know your takes on what this season might look like. Which teams might have an advantage in a shortened season? What differences will we notice while we're watching these games? Gino floored me yesterday and hit me with his prediction for the World Series and said that the Padres would be representing the National League. And I'm like, Gino, the Padres over the Astros? The Padres over the Dodgers? Rolling the tape. Let's see what happens.
No, the Astros aren't in the NL anymore, bud.
I'm sorry.
But my point, Nate, was if you're going to talk about best bullpens and maybe... Maybe it's the Padres. They're in that conversation. They have enough pop. Why not? I'll pick the 30-1 long shot. Do you agree with my take that the teams with the best bullpens will be better served here in a shortened season?
I would say I agree to that to a point, but I think the teams that have the starting pitching depth would benefit more because you can stack with extra players on your roster. Now, you can't have more than half your roster be pitchers. So you can't just have, you know, your 12 guys that you normally would have, and then you have 18 pitchers, and you can run a new guy out there every single inning, every single game. But teams that have starting pitching depth specifically are going to be able to, especially in the early going, stack their pitchers for four innings apiece, right? I mean, you always hear about the numbers on the third time through the order, and that generally comes around the fifth, sixth inning. Well, if starters don't have to reach that point, maybe because they're either not stretched out or teams have an opportunity here to limit the amount of wear on guys' arms while also, you know, getting wins. I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's what teams are going to go for. They're going to go for wins. And in a 60-game season, it makes every single win so much more important, every single late-inning drama situation that much more compelling. And baseball really doesn't get that until you get to game sevens in the playoffs, World Series games. I mean, generally, there's not that level of excitement for regular season games. I think a couple years ago, more than a couple years ago, 2011 maybe, the last day of the regular season, you had like four or five, six different teams that clinched in like dramatic fashion. And you just don't, baseball doesn't have that. But now with the shortened season, with every single game, every single pitch seemingly, you know, taking on greater meaning, you know, I think it makes for a more compelling watching experience for the fan, because it's one out of 60. So one win is going to make a heck of a big difference compared to when you've got one win amongst 162 games.
Agreed. And if I'm going to draw an analogy, I would draw it to college football. And the beauty of college football is that one loss is so painful, right? Well, that's my argument against, well, why don't we make it 8 teams in the playoffs? Why don't we make it 16? You know, at what point do you cut it off? We get the story late last night. Are you kidding me?
No wild card, right?
No, 10 to 16. That right now they are negotiating. This is only baseball. One team, they don't know where they're going to be playing games. And I know you're a baseball guy, Nate. And then the other thing, you know what? Let's expand the playoffs from 10 to 16. Let's go to 5. What? Stop with this already. I mean, look, like you said, if you're putting that much more importance into the regular season, Nate, why do we need 16 playoff teams? 8 from each. You could have a 500 baseball team end up winning the World Series in that scenario.
Right, and you've had it happen in other sports. I mean, you've had several 8 seeds in certain conferences in hockey, for example, in the last 10 years. You know, the LA Kings, I think of a team that, you know, really didn't really deserve to be in the playoffs, but because the way the league was set up. You know, I've always liked baseball because in a regular season, whether it's 162 games in baseball or it's 82 games in hockey or basketball, you should have enough games to get into the playoffs. So whatever number that is, whether it's a small number, I prefer a small number because you have enough games, especially in baseball, to get yourself into the playoffs. If you don't get into the playoffs, it's your own fault. You had 162 games. The reason I think it makes sense in this shortened season, Gene, is that the Washington Nationals are going to be significantly worse without Juan Soto, and they don't know how long he's going to be out. If he's out 14 of the 60 games, let's say he has to sit out 14 days for 2 weeks, right? That significantly affects their chances. So some teams are going to get hit with this thing and some teams aren't. So I think the easiest way to try to make it fair is to just, for the one season, increase it. But, you know, baseball talking about increasing playoffs even if the COVID pandemic hadn't hit. And I don't agree with that at all, because the one thing about baseball that I enjoy the most is that you have 162 games. If you don't make the playoffs, there's no excuses, because guys can get hurt and come back and you still have plenty of games to make up that time. In a shortened 60-game season, you really don't have that time. If things go bad, you could be out of contention super early.
One more question, Nate. Tonight, we're going to have Yankees-Nationals on our station, and for the Nationals, they're going to have a DH. And for all these games, we're going to have a runner on second. We have the 3-batter minimum per reliever. That meant to speed up the game. They're all kind of presented to us as temporary moves this year, maybe next. Do any of them stick for good here in baseball?
I think the 3-batter minimum is gonna stick. I don't think it necessarily speeds up the game that much, but you know, in the minor leagues, we don't get to see that much anymore because they just don't match up. Pitchers are thrown out there in the order that the major league team wants them to. And the manager really doesn't do a lot of managing in terms of pitcher setup. When you get maybe into the ninth inning, you have a AAA veteran that you maybe have as your closer. But other than that, you know, you're not doing a lot of matchups. So we didn't see that a whole lot. The DH, I think, is going to stick. And I know a lot of baseball purists, and I love baseball. You guys know this. And I know Gene loves the pitcher hitting in the National League. The National League rules allow for a little bit more what people call strategy. But Joe Altobelli, the former manager of the Red Wings, he has said that he actually thinks there's more strategy involved with the American League game. And my argument has always been that as time has gone on, pitchers have become worse and worse hitters. At one point, hitters or pitchers used to be better hitters, right? I told Gene this stat when he called me earlier this morning, and I couldn't believe it. John Shambi, who calls games for ESPN Radio, and he actually might have one of the calls on the game tonight because there's two.
Right.
San Francisco plays LA in the nightcap, I guess. But he tweeted out that in the postseason last year, pitchers were a combined 1 for 60. So, you know, I'm not paying to watch a National League pitcher lay down a sacrifice bunt or strike out by taking three pitches right down the middle because he doesn't want to get hurt. That stinks. I want to see offense. If the alternative is what we get currently in the National League, give me all the offense that you can get. I mean, people across the game have considered Zach Greinke to be one of the better hitting pitchers currently in the sport. And he's lucky if he hits 200 or barely over 200. I mean, what are we doing with pitchers anymore? To me, it makes more sense the way that the game has moved. And I don't necessarily agree that it's gone that way. I don't like that it's gone that way. But the fact that we're here means that there should be ways that we can avoid having a 150 pitcher hit so that occasionally, maybe once every 10 years, we can run into the Bartolo Colon home run off of James Shields in San Diego. I mean, that's basically why pitchers continue to hit, in my opinion, is that weird story. That doesn't make any sense to me. I hate it.
Nate, it is great to hear your voice. Glad you're healthy and doing well and looking forward to some baseball tonight. We'll be checking in with you again real soon. All right, buddy?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate having me on.
You got it.
Nate Rowan, who right now is on furlough and is in quarantine. He's had better times, poor guy.
He's alone, but he's not lonely. He has all of us.
That's right.
That's right.
He's got the game tonight.
That's right. Good stuff from Nate Rowan. If you missed it, use radio.com Rewind. You could scrub back and listen to any part of the show that you may have missed for up to 24 hours. We'll also get that for you on demand shortly here at ESPNRochester.com and the radio.com app. And if you follow us on Twitter at ESPNRochester, you'll always know when we're posting on-demand audio. Let's get to I'll Drink to That next in the Sports Bar. Gino, it's some takes.
Yeah, I want to go over the Ed Oliver story from yesterday, and I think there's more to this. At least Ed Oliver is letting us kind of believe that there's more to us, but I think Ed Oliver can go about this a different way. I will explain, because I don't think the story, what you heard yesterday in regards to the charges being dismissed, I don't think that's the last we've heard the story. I'm not saying it's bad for Oliver, but I think there is more to the story. I will explain, and I know you're going to get to the Seattle story here, but come on, Seattle. Seattle's supposed to be the tech city, right? Seattle's supposed to be so advanced, so hip and cool. No, they're not. No, they're not. There's something they did today that should be never done again in this world. I'll explain.
I'm going to share a take on Seattle. You know, today is exciting. I'm pumped up for them, but the work isn't done. Something else needs to change in Seattle. Needs to happen soon, and I can't believe it hasn't happened yet in Seattle. And you know, we joke about like there should be parenting licenses, really. I mean, like, shouldn't there be parenting licenses? You have a license to drive a car. You can have a license to, we can't have a license to drive to raise a child. I'm willing to say, take it even further and say social media licenses. Like, we'll do an IQ test. We'll take a sampling of your work and decide whether or not it's suitable for consumption from other eyeballs. before we let you release it out into the world. Some people just need to log off. Some of these people with celebrity status, some of these people with influence, one in particular, a gigantic name in the world of sports, just log off, you fraud. I'll drink to that is coming up. The Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester knows there's more to life than sports. Kidding. College basketball and football.
Put it away for these LSU Tigers.
The NBA.
Down to Davis, feeds LeBron, and traffic glides to the rim for two.
Major League Baseball.
And this one will find the Crawford boxes for a home run. And all of a sudden, it's a one-run game.
Your proud home of the Buffalo Bills.
Allen in the gun. Steps away from pressure again. Fires it now on the run. Caught by Beasley at the 10. Headed in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Buffalo Sabres. Rochester Americans.
Although he's there to jam it in, and his third goal of the night as the Amherst take a 3-2 lead.
More to life than sports? Not here. Rochester's most listened to sports station. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.